Right, so we've been going through these big areas of our lives and had education and careers so far. And tonight we're moving on to money. Once you've had your career, you can get some money. And what are you going to do with it? That's the ultimate question. And so obviously tonight. So I've got to tell you, out of the list that Sid very kindly given me of the topics for these evening services, this is the one that sent shivers down my spine. Thank you, Sin. Can I give you some advice? When you're given a choice, make your decision quickly. As if you were like me and left it to the last minute, you might only be left with two options. So today I'm teaching on finances. And in a few weeks, I'm talking about marriage. And I can tell you how hard those topics are to teach when your wife is in the same room as you and glaring from the corner. But and she knows exactly what you've done over the last 30 years. So I'm not going to lie to you, which you'll be pleased to know. I've battled with this topic of finances, with money, and we will save the marriage information for another day. But tonight we're going to talk about money. So, but you know, it's a great thing about the Bible. There's so much for us to learn and be reminded of. And God knows how money can be such an issue in our lives. And that he has so much direction and help and advice for us in his word. And whether you're rich or you're poor, you're comfortable, you're in debt, God has a word for you. And his grace is such that whatever you're going through, whatever you've done, there's a helping hand reaching out to you that can bring you back back on track wherever you're at. I know that. let's just quickly pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. I do pray right now for... as we go through your word here, some scriptures about finance and about money, that you will just be with us. And Lord, that you'll just speak to everybody that's listening tonight, listening to the sermon online. Wherever you're at, Lord, I pray that you'll just remind people of your grace, that where we've gone astray, when we've gone off the road, gone off the track, that you are able to bring us back and that you forgive us, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for bringing us through trials, tribulations to help us understand what you have in your word. And we're just so grateful for that. We're grateful for everybody in the church, everybody with a little experience of certain situations that we can share and help each other. And Lord, we're just grateful for that. Thank you for your word. Just thank you for your love for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So just going through, I want to obviously just heard Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon we have, let's just go through here, we'll catch up. Mammon, just to everybody who doesn't understand that, that's to do with wealth. It's to do with riches. Wealth regarded as an evil influence and a false object of worship and devotion. And we have... to say that, he says, you should not take no thought of your life, what you should eat, what you should drink, what for the body, what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat and body more than raiment? And this idea that we have that you can't serve God and mammon, what's that talking about? What's the word serve mean here? That's Julio. I think that's how you pronounce it. I could push the speaker thing, but I'm not going to. So to be a slave, to serve, to do service of a nation in subjection to another nation. So you've got this... where you're relying on something so completely that you're a slave to it. You know, we should be in service to God, not in service to money. And unfortunately, they don't run hand in hand. You know, if you go off and you're serving your life to money, then you're not serving it to God. And that's just the way it is. God makes it very, very plain here. You know, we can't serve both. There's an order of doing things, and obviously that is putting God first and submitting our whole lives to him. That's including our finances, which we try to do, which we intend to do. Money is a necessity to everyone in different amounts. And it's said, no matter how much that you have, that you always live by your means. To buy food, to live somewhere, to pay taxes, to buy clothes, to even have the church building, money is needed to pay the bills, gas, electric, maintenance, and even down to tea and coffee and toilet rolls. the money is always needed. And it's you could say, okay, we'll have it in somebody's home, but all of those bills will still be in that place as well. You know, they, things need to be paid for. Money is essential. So, you know, it's a necessity to everybody. But so the issue is not really having money, and it isn't really how much you have or how little you have, although that can make a difference. And we should discuss those sort of factors when you've got too much. But we'll go through that in a minute. It can make a difference. And most things, God's word is always talking about the heart. And that's what we're going to sort of boil down to here, is where your heart is with those situations, where your heart is with your finances, with God and with money. I just want to take you, I've not got the scriptures here, but I want to quickly take you to the rich young ruler and just read you from Matthew 19 here. And behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why callest me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life and keep his commandments, and he said to him, which Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And the young man said, all these things I've kept from my youth. What yet do I lack? And Jesus said to him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have a treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young ruler heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus to his disciples, verily I say to you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So making this real point here of the heart, and just wanted to give that, you know, that rich young ruler, he wanted to follow God, he wanted to keep the commandments, but he had an issue with money. He didn't want to let go of it. He didn't want to share it. He didn't want to sacrifice that money to follow Jesus. And obviously, that's why Jesus said that to him, because he could see his heart and he could see how he was taken up with that money and all he had. And it's a danger, and that's why, you know, Jesus puts this parable in here to show that you know the heart is he's a jealous God. He doesn't want to be shared with a heart that's wanting to worship money. So you know, we have that great picture there. But I just want to go through a couple of other scriptures here, just to hopefully we've got this. Well, Mark 4:19, and the cares of this. Okay, all right, slightly down, different on mine. And these are which are shown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, choking the word, and becoming unfruitful. Just from the same passage, but in from Luke, and that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. We have these two, obviously, coming from the parable of the sower, and explains how lusts for the riches and things can choke our relationship with God. And it can catch us unawares so that we don't even notice it coming. It can stamp and even stop our fruitfulness. And this can happen when we concentrate on self rather than others. When we're inward looking and we're looking for riches and for those things that give us pleasure, we tend to be very sort of self-centered. When we turn those things to outside, how can we help with cares and riches to other people? Then we tend to start them doing what the Lord wants us to do. But here, if I go to the next one, I think it's John, 1 John 2. And here in John, we try to show us that he tries to show us the big pitch that all this eventually will pass away. And I suppose with our limited time in this world, our time is better spent in that relationship with God. And I see it like a sort of spiritual seesaw. You spend so much time in the distractions of the riches of this world, we get way down and focused on the ground. So you imagine that seesaw hitting the ground, not going anywhere. When we focus on God, we start to fly and we lift up and our eyes to the sky. We're close to the God. And not worried on what's going on below. And if you're anything like me, the seesaw goes like this, up and down, up and down, up and down. depending what your focus is on. I mean, you're focused on the world or whether you're focused on him. It can be quite an uncomfortable ride when you're doing that. So for those of us that have a yearning to have more money, you need to look at them reasons why. Why do you want that money? What do you want it for? All that we actually have is God's. You know, he made it in the first place. He made us in the first place, and all the ingredients are his. We're just stewards of God's things. So it's important that we decide carefully what we're going to do with God's things, and that's including our money and our finances. Solomon gives great advice on being rich and how that can take us away from God and puts us on a mission to want more and more. Just read this verse from John 1, sorry, which I've just forgotten. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Again, making this point, you know, these things are temporary. And I know when we go through our lives, there we have a lot of blessings, a lot of enjoyment, a lot of things to look forward to. And we, you know, if you're like me, you were looking for that wife, you're looking for the house, you're looking for a life you can build up and children, and it's something that you have all these plans in your life, what you want to do, and things take turns here and take turns there, but really it's just a small part of our eternal life, and although it's important and it's low, you know, God wants us to enjoy it and be blessed in it. We can focus on that so much that we don't see the bigger picture. We don't see our life. You know, how long do we get here? It's not long. Maybe you're lucky and live to 100. And, you know, that's great. But, you know, we have another 1,000 years down here later on and an eternity with Jesus, which is a whole lot longer and a whole bigger thing. So maybe the time that we have here, we should be focusing on him more and maybe not on the world so much. But, you know, that God wants to bless us in this life and he does take us through these things. So going back to Solomon, jump back to where I was a second ago. Solomon gives us great advice on being rich. And we see that in Ecclesiastes here, Ecclesiastes 5, 9 to 11 on there, 9 to 13 on here, we shall see. Moreover, the profits of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance and with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. What good is there to the owner of their self? Saving the beholding of them with their eyes. So there's a saying, you know, you do this, you get more, you get more, you have more, you have more, and all you're doing is making an example to everybody who can see that you've got more and got more. There's only so much you can have without it just growing in a sense, without doing anything else. You know, how much do you actually need in your life to live comfortably? How much do you actually need to get through a week and pay the bills and what's owed and have a bit left in the pot? What do you actually need? Carrying on there from 12 to 13. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept the owners unto their hurt. And he's saying that, you know, this is a damage that can be done to the rich, and they want more and more and more, and the pressures upon that life actually stop their sleep. Stop their comfiness, and in turn it starts to hurt them. You know, and I say Solomon, you know, the most wisest person, didn't have had his faults, obviously, but here talking very much sense and warning people as a man who had lots of riches and the problems that it gave him, he's giving that advice to us. When goods increase, when want for more causes a lack of sleep or even makes us ill through worry, then there's a problem. And that needs sorting. And we do see that in the world. Some wealthy people will tell you always that they always want more. Some of the wealthiest people always want more. There's something more to grab. There's something more to get. And even though more will not benefit them at all, it won't make them happier. It won't make them more comfortable. They're already as comfortable as they could possibly be, but they have this yearning. They've made more. Is it enough? Am I number one? Am I the richest person in the world? Do I need to do this to be down in the history books? They almost get themselves into a predicament where they just need more and more and more to try and, in a sense, be like in a competition. One of my customers is a billionaire, and he's a very nice gent. He's extremely generous. He's not giving me any millions, but, we can work on that. He's generous, but he's a workaholic, and he seems to love being very busy, and he seems to me at work all the time. He's just in the office. He just loves and thrives on that busyness of a work schedule. In my mind, it seems sad that he has, in a sense, this money, and he doesn't enjoy it because he enjoys that work. He enjoys it's not even necessarily making money, but he just enjoys the pressure of business. And he has lots of people that rely on him for work and their livelihoods. He employs a lot of people. And in a sense, he's obviously got that pressure already. He's got to keep that going. He can't just stop, because he provides for so many other people that if he was to stop, they'd all be out of work, and he'd actually cause damage to them. So he has this pressure. It's something to bear, to think about when you get into those sort of realms of business, when you've got people under you, that extra pressure will come to you. And are you suited to that that sort of business? It's certainly not for the faint-hearted. The pressure to keep everything going and growing is all-consuming and can take up a lot of your time. It takes up most of his time. I wouldn't swap for him for that money. Wouldn't at all. I like what I do. I can see the damage that can cause by having that much money. And it is kind of scary. I've enjoyed working with him because I have lots of questions and I can have conversations with him. He's quite open about how he deals with different bits and pieces. But it's interesting to see that other side of somebody's life. You might yearn to be like that, to have billions of pounds. But when you actually know somebody that's got it and you see the effect it has on them, it does put you off. It's not everything. Certainly money is not everything. Let's have a quick reminder here. And there's some scriptures to teach us that it's not good to be a sluggard either. We have this where we be careful of how much money you've got. You can go the other way as well. Don't be a sluggard. Don't do nothing. And how long will thou sleep? It's from Proverbs 6, 9-11. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? And when will thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It's both ways. There's a balance here. God expects us to work. He expects us to earn a living. And he doesn't want us to do nothing as well. He's blessed us with a life, and he wants us to live it well. But there's warnings to both sides. If you've got too much, you've got too little, or where your heart is with anything that you've got, that's an issue. And Solomon gives us warning. Again, with riches, if we just go to here, Proverbs 11:4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. I just want to, the next one here, Proverbs 11:28. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish and as a branch. It's making this, if you trust in riches, you're going to have a problem. If I go back to the other one, riches profit not in the day of wrath. There's a time that's coming that no matter how much money you got, it will not help you at all. But righteousness, being right, being godly, can profit you. The money comes second. The money and other things of this world come second. God and his righteousness and our life in him should come top every time. Bow times there, obviously, Solomon. says righteousness is way more better than riches. And if you just go to Proverbs here, Proverbs 23, 4 and 5, labour not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Will thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Now, your riches that you're aiming for, you could spend your whole life aiming for and getting, can just go just like that. Now, we've seen that, you know, in times past of stars that seem to have billions and millions from films and from music suddenly bankrupt. They're just gone. You know, they've wasted them away. Always remember Five Star. We'll go back to the 80s now. But did very well in the 80s. Good band, nice popular music. Had all the Rolls Royces and everything, and eventually became bankrupt. You know, it's something you've got to bear in mind. You know, you could be working very hard to get that full bank, and it can just go just like that. So we need, you know, take our priorities, what's important, and to be careful, and to be wise, good stewards. Find up Prime again. Next page. Riches can come and go. They can't be relied upon. And that's something, I'm sure we can sort of all agree. And there's been times where I've had loads of invoices and I've been paid and life looks good. It's always good when you're paid. And then you have to pay the wholesalers at the end of the month. And as quickly as the money came in one hand, it goes out in the other. And suddenly you're back to where you was again. And it's like that, you know, you'll have periods where you have money, periods when you don't have money. And you've got to plan for that. Plan for what you actually have. What about debt? We've got to touch debt. The Bible is not an advocate of debt. We should all be cautious, should I say, in getting into debt. Having said that, it's very hard to be a homeowner or venture into a new business or even go to university or travel without getting into some sort of form of debt. And we should think hard before getting into debt and consider all the options. If we look at Proverbs 22, 26 to 27, it says, "Be not thou one of them that strikes hands, or them that are sureties for debts. And if thou have nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee?" You know, so be careful. What it's saying is, you know, be careful not to be one of those that you make an agreement with somebody that's going to lend you some money. If you can't pay it back, and if you don't, then they take your bed from under you. They take what you've got. You know, this is one verse, but it says so much. You know, don't do that. If you can't afford what you're borrowing, then you shouldn't do it. That's in a sense it's sinful. You've got to be to know that you can pay back what you're borrowing. Make sure you can pay off the debt if you choose to get into it. Be careful. You know, a miscalculation or unforeseen financial event can put you in a really bad position, even losing what you have, like your bed here. Knowing that having an extra debt, you become a servant to the lender. If you just go to that next Psalms 22:7, the rich ruler over the poor and a borrower is a servant to the lender. You will, when you're in debt, become a servant to a lender. You know, it's a responsibility. And again, it's something you will have to pay back. And it's a righteous thing to do, to pay back what's been lent to you. But you are under that banner of, being a borrower, being a servant to that person. And it can have other effects on you in the sense that if you're running so tightly with the payments that you're paying back, you're obviously losing some of your spending capital that you can be doing for using for God elsewhere. And it's just something else to think about when you're doing it. For some, the burden is more significant than others. Debts can frustrate, it can bring stress, and it can give one a sense of hopelessness. The weight of debt is heavy. It can seem never ending. You can be in debt for an awful long time. If you ever get a mortgage, then you know you can spend a good 25 years paying that off. There are other options, renting and such like. But, you know, a lot of people choose, if they can, to get on that ladder to buy a house for themselves. And that's a big debt, 25-year debt, and which, you know, you're going to lend it off a bank or of some sort. And that you know, then can bring those stress levels and those worry levels. And we know, you know, worrying's a sin. And we see that, you know, the verse that was read earlier, it goes on to, you're saying, you know, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, what you should drink, nor yet for the body, what you should put on. Do not worry, be ever anxious or fretful. And we have this worry that can be generated. And this sermon's certainly not on worry, but it's one of the aspects of getting into money problems. You know, it's from Dake, 8 Reasons Why We Should Not Worry. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. Human beings are greater than materials. People are more important than birds whom God feeds with their labor. And worry cannot change the body. People are better than plants. And do not worry about clothing. God's providence is over all creation, not just the birds and plants that never buy or sell, manufacture or labor. Worry is useless and sinful and must not be tolerated. And Dave goes on to say here, and I thought, I'm going to read this because I thought it was good, even though I don't want to concentrate on worries so much. Quit worrying because it's sinful. It produces a fear, a disease causing other ills, borrowing trouble that cannot be paid back, brooding over what may not happen, creating trouble, misery, death, a burden borrowed from tomorrow, and others who should carry it, a weight that kills prematurely, mentally and physically, a grave digger that has no sympathy, needless and wastes time and effort that should be spent on worthwhile things, a robber of faith, peace and trust in a never-failing Heavenly Father, a stumbling block for others, a disgrace to God that should never be indulged in by Christian anxiety. Over what is nothing today and less tomorrow, a view of faith, anticipating troubles which seldom come to those who trust God, tormented over something that will likely be your blessing if it comes, living like an orphan with a Heavenly Father, a crime against God, man, nature, and better judgment, mental cruelty to self and others foolish, for whatever is going to happen cannot be stopped. When goods increase, going on to the old page, worry, and if it doesn't happen, there is nothing to worry about. Should adversaries actually come, one may still be victorious by trusting in God. So just sort of saying that, you know, don't worry. Don't worry. You can't change anything with worry. And, you know, if these things are going through this, then it's very hard to stop that anxiety and worry coming out. But just you know, you can still overcome and be victorious in that situation in trusting God. And you can see him work instead of you just trying to worry to change it. Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruler, rule over the poor. If I just go to that one, I think it's, have I gone, jumped on? No, I was already on it, sorry. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. It needs to be paid back. You know, it's the right thing to do. If you borrow, then it needs to be paid back. Having got into financial difficulty in the past, messing up a bill once upon a time, quite a few years ago, I messed up a bill, and I didn't have the money to pay the wholesaler, quite a lot. I had to consider my options and even looked at bankruptcy at one point. But in my heart, I felt that I had to pay it back. With help from family and some understanding from the wholesalers, it got paid back over a period of time. You know, we're Christians, and if we get into situations like that, we need to come together. We need to work it out. We need to go to God, and we need to pay it back. It's the righteous thing to do, you know. And it's not easy. It's not an easy way to go. And you know, it's not always possible to have help from family and friends. But you know, if you can and you can pay that back, that's good. I couldn't go back into that wholesaler's knowing that I owed the money, and yeah, so you know, I felt like I had to pay it back. Psalms 37:21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous show mercy and giveth. Just saying that, you know, the wicked borrow and don't pay it back. that the righteous show mercy and giveth. And that should be on our hearts. You know, if we're, before we even go into a debt, we need to be at that place where we know that we can pay it back. On a personal note, I used to have credit cards. I just want to add this. For me, it was a really bad choice. I used them badly. And again, eventually had to change them into a loan to pay them off. And you might see why possibly I didn't want to talk about finances and money as a teaching topic. And as a warning, please consider seriously how you are with money before taking out credit cards or overdrafts. Them options, what I found, you know, the credit limits just keep going up, and they are so willing to lend you money and to put you in debt and paying high interest rates because it makes them money. You know, you being in debt will make somebody money, and they have no worries in charging that to you. They're no worries in putting you in that position. That's their business. And it's completely in your hands, and it's only your discipline that can prevent you from trouble. I had a colleague that had 16 credit cards that were fully loaded, and you would have thought that they would have refused them getting another one, but that no, they were allowed, and they completely were overwhelmed with debt. It's just frightening how, you know, you can do that. If you are very disciplined and you can, you know, but yeah, it's very hard nowadays to actually buy things without a credit card, and it, you know, certain things, it seems to be the only method now for businesses as well. But just from a personal note from me, please just be a bit wary and do look into those things. I wish I'd never got them. That's on a personal, all ours are chopped up, they're gone. I think we've got one, actually, one in an envelope somewhere in the deepest cupboard for emergencies only. But it's staying there. In fact, I don't know where it is, so that's probably a good thing. there is a song, Money Makes the World Go Round. This is not true. It's just not true. God makes the world go round. He's able to provide all your needs. And that's not what you think you need. That's actually what you need. He knows. He knows, and you know, when you stay faithful to him, and we listen to him, he will show us those ways to be able to live, to be able to get enough for what we need, and it'll bring us through those times where we can't, you know, whether it be a friend on the line or whatever, you know, there's people out there that will help. Ecclesiastes 5:18-19. Behold, that which I've seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of his labour, and he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and have given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labour, this is a gift of God. You know, God wants us to be comfortable. He wants us to be able to feed, to be able to make money, to live somewhere, to be able to give to charities, to be give to organisations, to help your friend, to help your family. He wants that. It's a good thing, and you know, God just provide for us in that way. We even if you look at Solomon, you know, you can see he asked just for wisdom, but he was given wealth and riches as well. And likewise, God can do that for us as well. Where did I get to? Down here somewhere. Contentment is a great thing to have. Timothy, in this next scripture, shares that here. Rather than aiming for worldly gain, consider the following: after righteousness and godliness, and faith and love. So we said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If we brought nothing into this world, and we certainly can't carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish, hurtful lusts, which drown men destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some covet after, some have erred in the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Just one more point. I want to share this. It's the parable of the talents. I've not got the scriptures up, but I want to read it to you. Matthew 25, 14 to 29. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who calls his own servants and delivers unto them his goods. And unto one he gives 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. And every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he had received 2, also gained another 2. But he who had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and bought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came to the Lord, I deliver unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And when he received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, and thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not stored. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that, I'm sorry, that is thine. His Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sow not, and gather where I have not straw. And thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own money with usury. And take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that had 10 talents. For everyone that have shall be given, and he that shall have abundance. But from him that have not shall be taken away, even that's what we have. You know, God wants you to be a good steward with his money. And whatever you have, whether it be pennies, pounds, or millions, then you know we need to be faithful with that money and use it for God. Whether it be making money or whether it be helping somebody, but you know we need to look at that. God's taught me a lot of lessons in the past. I sometimes make mistakes along the way. I don't talk to Cheryl because she'll probably fill you in loads more. Some I wish I had taken advice for in the past, but he brought me and Cheryl through. Money's nice, but God's so much more fulfilling. Longing to be face to face with Jesus is so much better than wanting a £1 million house and a Bentley outside. But hey, God blessed Solomon with riches, you know, and likewise, like I said earlier, he could bless you with those as well. Just be faithful with what you've got, be thankful, and be a good steward. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for all your blessings, Lord. Father, we know that everything is yours, Lord. Everything that we have is yours. You made it. And Lord, we're grateful for what we have. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be content with what you've given us. Lord, help us not to be so focused on the world and making so much money that we have too much to spend. Rather, let us focus on you and build that relationship that you have with us, Lord, that we can understand even where you want the pennies to go. Father, we've made so many mistakes. I pray, Lord, for those who are struggling, for those who feel desperate, feel hopeless because of money situations and the such, Lord, that you would just be with them and give them peace, Lord. Father, I know too well the stress of not having certain money for certain things that seem essential. Oh, Lord, help us to remember how you look after the birds and then look after the flowers, Lord. And Lord, that we are so much more important than those things. Lord, it's so important that you died for us. And Lord, we thank you and help us to trust, put that trust in faith in you in all those situations. Lord, take our lives and just build us up, Lord. Teach us well to be good servants, good stewards. And Lord, help us to just focus on your eyes, focus on you, Lord, in everything that we do. Lord, we're just grateful that you forgive us when we go off the tracks. And Lord, that you're just there for us when we fall. Lord, help us to do things in your power and not our own. And help us to just seek you each and every day, Lord, for your word. Father, just thank you for these times. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.